Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled Christian Philosophy 2. I just started this series yesterday. I've been teaching on what I call Christian philosophy for a month prior to this. And in that, I was basically talking about a Christian way of thinking about basic theological issues, such as the Word of God is absolutely true. It's from God. That God is Lord over our life. That God is a good God. And we dealt with these, in a sense, theological issues. What I'm doing in this part two, Christian Philosophy part two, is taking the Word of God and establishing a Christian philosophy or a Christian way of looking at our world today. And we're dealing with such issues as homosexuality and abortion and other things like that. And yesterday, basically, I was just trying to establish my right to speak on this. There's a lot of people that have a philosophy that ministers should never deal with anything except just what's in the Bible. Well, did you know there's a lot in the Bible about homosexuality and abortion? And we need to speak out on this. Jesus said, we are the light of the world. Now, He was the light of the world, but when He left, He said, now you are the light of the world, that we are the salt of the earth. And if we don't salt the earth, how's it going to be salted? We have to take the truths that God has spoken us to us and speak out on that. And, you know, I just assume somebody else do this, but in a sense, I've been really excited about doing this and just getting to put in my 2 cents worth on a lot of our hot topics of the day. I've been excited about it and, in a sense, dreading it at the same time because, you know, I get a lot of flack just teaching on Scripture and things like this. When you start talking about moral issues of the day, there are people that are so prejudiced in this area that they aren't going to listen to reason and they're instantly going to reject and do things like that. And so I haven't been excited about that part of it. But I really am excited about those of you who really are born again. You truly love God, but yet you have let this world system and its attitudes influence you more than you've let the Word of God. Well, I'm excited about speaking the truth. And I believe that this is going to reach people and help you to begin to start recognizing the truth in these areas and withdraw from this destructive lifestyle yourself and at the same time be a light and the salt of the earth and start speaking out and letting your voice be heard, not in the purpose of trying to hurt anybody, but to help people. You know, I used these scriptures yesterday that you shall not hate your neighbor in your heart, but you shall in any wise rebuke him and not suffer sin upon him. And then the next verse talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. It is love to tell a person the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's only the truth you know that sets you free. And I tell you, things are being twisted and perverted today. According to Isaiah chapter 5, I believe it's verse 20, it says, in the last days, people will call evil good and good evil. We are seeing that perversion work today, and people are being told that for people to stand up and say that homosexuality is a sin and it's wrong, that that is what's wrong, and that this is hate. And they're branding those people who stand up and speak out for what has been traditionally morality for thousands of years. Certainly in this country, in the last couple of hundred years, there has been a consistent stand against this. You could go back into the histories of any nation, and when they openly begin to start promoting immorality and the breakdown of the family and homosexuality, those nations haven't lasted once they do that. You can find that in Scripture. I'm going to be talking about this from Romans chapter 1. You can go back in history and find it. When the Roman Empire began to just start being, indulging in so much immorality, and they had these public baths, and homosexuality became rampant. Did you know that that spelled the end of the Roman Empire? The Scripture says that sin is a reproach to any people, but righteousness will exalt a nation. And I guarantee you, living in a sinful lifestyle that such as homosexuality and abortion that is killing people and all of these things, this is destructive to society. It's not just a church issue or a secular issue. It is something that affects all of us. And I believe that it's appropriate to speak out on this. You know, in Proverbs chapter 8, let me turn over and read this passage of Scripture to you. There's a lot of scriptures. I'm just picking a few of these. But in Proverbs chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 13, the Scripture says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." You know, the Scripture says that you are supposed to hate evil. And this isn't only in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it says, let me turn over there and read that lest I misquote this. You know, while I'm getting there, let me just make this point that I got an email. I read it last night. And there was a person that when I had David Barton on my programs back in the summer, we were talking about homosexuality, and I had thought that homosexuality was a relatively recent issue, that people in previous generations didn't deal with it. It wasn't out in your face and open like this. And David Barton gave an example about how George Washington in the Continental Army actually had a man who was drummed out of the army, and he was talking about that they played the drums. You know, you've heard this phrase, somebody's being drummed out of the Corps or something like this. And he made the comment that they would, use drums, and to the beat of the drums, they stripped this person of all of their rank and kicked them out of the army because he was a homosexual. And it just amazed me that George Washington had to deal with homosexuality and the way he dealt with it. And the founding father of our nation, the first president of the United States today, man, the homosexual agenda would be on his case and talking about how terrible he was, and yet that was the way it was dealt with back then. Well, I made a reference to that, and we were talking about it, and somebody from Australia wrote in, and I read this email just last night, and they said, "Oh, I love the way that you and David Barton rewrote history." And then he made reference to the fact that drumming people out of the Corps didn't start with George Washington. It happened, and he cited some instance. And anyway, my point in bringing this up is that, you know, I don't think that we said this was the only or the very first time it was ever done. We were just citing it as an example that this had been a precedent for hundreds of years in this nation. There was no claim that this was the only or the first time that this was ever done. But this is a tactic that you find the ungodly using very often. They will take what you say, they will pick it apart and analyze it and try and find something to criticize, which in that instance, I don't think that what we were saying was that that was the only time it had ever been done. But even if we were wrong in saying it was when it started, it still doesn't negate the fact, it doesn't change the point that we were making, and that is that 200 plus years ago, George Washington took a stand against immorality and called homosexuality immoral and drummed people out of the army, disgraced them publicly, and kicked them out for doing it because it was such an abomination. The point that we were making stands. And so the reason I'm turning over to read this verse is because if I was to quote it and didn't get something right, somebody will come in and start criticizing. And this is just the culture that we live in. People are so offended. They aren't thinking with their hearts. They already have a prejudice, and they are just going to try and find something to gripe about and complain about. So let me turn over and read this verse, make sure I get it exactly correct. It says in verse 9, this is Romans chapter 12, verse 9. It says, "Let love be without dissimulation." The word dissimulation here means hypocrisy. It's an old English word for saying, don't be hypocritical. Let your love be genuine and true. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So this is the New Testament counterpart to that Old Testament scripture that I read where it says in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In the New Testament, it says, don't be hypocritical. Don't be disingenuous. Let your love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. There is a place for standing up and hating evil. Now, I'm making a distinction between hating evil and hating the people who do evil. You know, I'm against homosexuality. I'm against abortion. I'm against adultery. I'm against lying and stealing. And yet I have friends that have done every one of those things. And you know what? They're still friends. They were friends before I found out that I'm thinking of some people here that were homosexuals, and I still love them. I have not disassociated myself. I've told them that it's wrong. I've told them it's destructive. I've prayed with them. I've helped them to get beyond that and go on. And we've been friends for many, many, many years, even after a homosexual incident. And you know what? I do not hate the people. And there'll be people who will misquote me and misuse this. I can't help it if you've got a problem and if you're prejudiced and you're biased. I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. And I am letting my love be without dissimulation. I'm telling people the truth because I love people and want to set them free. I'm telling you that you need to abhor. You need to hate the evil, not hate the person who does it, but hate that evil. You need to hate it and cleave to that which is good. And we have a tremendous amount of Christians today who are being intimidated into saying nothing and doing nothing. And there are even some Christians that think that, you know, it's love to just turn the other cheek. And they'll take scriptures where Jesus said that if somebody smites you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. And they just don't say anything. Well, you know, there's a place for turning the other cheek. But that same Jesus who told us to turn the other cheek also made a cord, a whip out of cords and beat the money changers and drove them out of the temple. And in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, this same Jesus who was meek and lowly in heart told the scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites, you're whited sepulchers. You're like a grave that is full of dead men's bones. You look like a cup and a platter that on the outside you're clean, but inside there's all this filth and corruption. And he says, you hypocrites, you vipers, you snakes. The same Jesus who was meek and lowly, there is a place for telling people the truth. You know, I run across this in every area of life, but I deal with a lot of people that they come to me and they are trying to love their children who are in rebellion. And they think that it's love just to let their children basically do anything and everything. And they might say every once in a while, I sure wish you'd consider your lifestyle, or they are praying that something will happen, but they won't take their authority and use it. I tell you, there is a place for tough love. There is a place for telling people the truth. And before I even get into all of the things I'm going to be saying, I first of all got to defend my right to say it, because even Christians have been cowed into this position of thinking that we just ought to say nothing. Again, I refer to the scriptures in, I believe it's Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. How's this world going to be salted if we don't speak the truth? You know, there's a phrase that I've heard quoted so many times, I don't actually know who to attribute it to, but I've heard it attributed to many different people. But it says that all you have to do to let evil prevail is for good men to do nothing. And all we have to do to let the ungodliness that is just making such amazing strides and gaining acceptance and popularity among people, all we have to do to let that continue and accelerate is for those who know the truth to say nothing. Now, again, there's a right and a wrong way to say it. And to me, the dividing line, how I determine whether it's hate speech or whether you are just hating the evil and loving the person, and it's actually love speech. You are motivated to tell a person the truth. You're trying to save their life. The way to really discern whether that's right or not is to look at the motive of your heart. And you know, if you are attacking a person because you hate them and you're wanting to do damage unto them, that's what the scripture uses the word malice. It says nothing should be done with malice. The word malice means intent to hurt. If you are trying to hurt people, if you are trying to shame them, if you are trying to disgrace them, Well, then that's wrong. And that violates everything that Jesus said about loving your neighbor as yourself. But you know what? If you truly love a person, and if the reason you're going to stand up and tell them the truth is because you love them and you believe that what they're doing is damaging, such as homosexuality or such as abortion, it's killing a life and it's actually hurting that person. They're going to deal with emotional, psychological issues after that. If you stand up and tell a person the truth because you love them and you honestly want to help them, if you can truthfully say that you aren't doing this for your own selfish advantage, but you are doing it because you love that person. And if you can communicate that the reason you're speaking out is because you love them and you don't want to see Satan gain access to their life and destroy them. If people can know that you love them, they will accept nearly anything you've got to say. They may not always agree with you. There may be other issues and they may intellectualize it and reject what you've got to say. But if you could really prove to people that you love them and it's because you love them that you're speaking the truth, then that would make a difference. And you know what? It's because I love people. And I know that there are people that will disagree with this and there's people that will automatically, you have prejudged me, and the moment I cross a line and the moment I say anything that's contrary to what you believe, you are just going to lump me into a category and you're going to dismiss me, and it's easy for you to deal with that, and you just stay in your little box and don't ever consider anything outside of the prejudice that you've already been taught. But whether you believe it or not, the only reason I'm on television and the only reason I'm beginning to make this Christian philosophy part two and speak out on social issues, I'm not doing this for me. This isn't going to gain me a tremendous amount of love and acceptance with people. Matter of fact, there's going to be people come out against me. I'm doing this in the face of whatever results, whatever opposition, whatever the end result of it is. I'm going to do this because I believe, number one, that God has laid it on my heart to do this. It's the truth. And I do it because I believe God is loving you through me. And I'm trying to tell you the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. And we have not been told the truth. A lot of pulpits aren't preaching the truth because they're afraid somebody is going to claim that they've got over into the secular realm and they're interfering in our social things today, which is totally an invalid complaint. There's a lot of people today that haven't been told the truth. We certainly aren't getting in the news media. They are presenting homosexuality as if it is a normal, acceptable lifestyle. And it is a perversion. It's abnormal. The health risk, the psychological risk, everything in the... There is not one positive thing, nothing positive about homosexuality. It is a destructive lifestyle by looking at anybody's statistics. You know, again, I've spent these first 2 days kind of introducing the thing and I hadn't got into that, but we are going to continue and we're going to start showing you statistics from the gay and lesbians own survey, their own stats that, of course, they were using to try and show you how pitiful the homosexuals were, how maltreated they are, and to make you feel pity for them. But I'm going to take their own stats and show you what they say about themselves, how destructive that lifestyle is. And I guarantee you, anybody who is objective will have to realize that from a secular standpoint, this is something that society should not embrace, and we ought to take a stand against it. It's a destructive lifestyle. Man, those are some powerful statements that I realize go completely contrary to our culture today, but they are completely consistent with the Word of God. And I'm just trying to get across that I'm saying this because I love you and because I want you to be free and I want our society to be free. This is destructive. It's destroying society. Abortion has killed now right at 50 million children in the U.S. alone. In other places, it's even greater. Did you know, again, if you were to just divorce yourself from even the Scriptures, which to me, the Scriptures is more than enough reason to form my opinion, and I just base it on what God has to say. But even if you don't consider the Scripture, I found out that most people don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. But even if you are one of those that the Word of God isn't absolute in your life, if you were to just look at it from the economic standpoint, what would happen in our nation, in the United States of America today, if we had 50 million people over since 1973. So this has been over 36 years. Many of those people would be in the prime of their life and making money. And you know what? Our economy wouldn't have had what's happened to it if we hadn't have aborted 50 million babies. Our Social Security thing wouldn't be in the crisis that it's in, to where we've got the baby boomers that now outnumber the workforce, if we had another 50 million people in the workforce. And on and on and on you could go with all of these things. Think about all of the talents. Think about all of the abilities that have been lost. Think about how that would affect our culture. You know, even if you are to not consider this from a scriptural standpoint, there are just so many reasons to recognize that a lot of the things that are being promoted and defended and actually trying to advance. Like, let me just pull up one thing I've got right here. Let me read this to you. This is from President Obama, and here are some of his statements on gay pride. Here's a statement from President Barack Obama. He says, "There are good and decent people in this country who don't yet fully embrace their gay brothers and sisters." Not yet, with the emphasis on not yet. And he goes on to say, "That's why I've spoken about these issues, not just in front of you, but in front of unlikely audiences, in front of African-American church members." And he goes on to say, "There are still fellow citizens, perhaps neighbors or even family members and loved ones, who still hold fast to worn out arguments and old attitudes." He is out to destroy what he called the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. And he's out to overturn the don't ask, don't tell thing. And he is just basically trying to make all Americans accept homosexuality and present this as normal, and anybody who stands out against homosexuality as being a hate crime. It's just the opposite. Anybody who is advocating homosexuality is a hate crime. It is a destructive lifestyle. People die over 20 years younger if they're a homosexual than if they aren't a homosexual. The depression and the AIDS rate and just everything else increases exponentially. It is probably the most destructive lifestyle that we have, and it is not based on genetics. It is nothing but an absolute choice. It is something that could change in a heartbeat. And I tell you, rather than people who oppose homosexuality and abortion and immorality in any form being branded as people who are full of hate and hate speech, it ought to be just the opposite. The people who are promoting immorality and promoting all of these things, those are the ones that are actually doing damage to our nation. That actually ought to be considered hate speech. Amen. I know some of you are thinking, "Man, that's exactly opposite of everything I've heard." Well, that's, again, what the Bible says, that in the last days, people will call evil good and good evil. I tell you, the godly way of looking at things has been so perverted that I've had to spend 2 days basically introducing this and trying to establish my right as a minister to have a biblical opinion and to say something is right and something is wrong. You know, that's a terrible statement, but it's quite an indictment against our whole society today, that we are so afraid to speak the truth, that the Word of God has become so out of style today that you have to sit there and defend believing something that has been believed for hundreds of years and firmly established in Scripture. Tomorrow we're going to begin to get into this in more detail. I think it's really going to help you. We've got some materials that are going to give you some weapons, some tools that you can use to help defend a godly position. I encourage you to listen to our announcer and then call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 2 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1062C or DVD album T1062D when you contact us. The supplemental material Andrew mentioned will also be included with each album. The first teaching in the CD album, titled Love Enough to Rebuke, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching TCP7C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled The Believer's Authority, is available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
For those of you who are receiving the message that I'm preaching, I'm sure that you realize that this is a hot issue, that there's going to be a lot of people angry. There's going to be a lot of criticism and rejection. And I'd just like to ask those of you who support this and recognize that there is a place to speak the truth in love. I'd like to ask you to please get off of the fence, to please help and support. We want to take this message and expose it to many more people, and it just takes money to do that. If you have been blessed, I encourage you to stand with us. And don't just say, well, I'm with you in spirit. I'd like you to be with us in your pocketbook, in writing in and letting us know that you're for this. We need to hear some positive comments. So please call the number that you see on your screen. Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers' conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs, and I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Mm-hmm. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers' conference.
And we'll see you there.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at Caris Christian Center, September 27th. In Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd. And in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Join us tomorrow for Gospel Truth as Andrew continues his teaching titled Christian Philosophy.